From Galatians chapter 5. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become servants to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. I spent last week volunteering at Camp Wanakee, which is one of our United Methodist camps. Every year, Wanakee has a different Bible study theme for the summer. This summer, it's Living Water, which I blame for all the rain of the summer that they picked Living Water. A few years ago, I actually got to help them write the Bible study, and it was on the scripture that we read this evening, the fruit of the Spirit. So not only did we have a fun song to sing about the fruit of the Spirit, but we were also able to really practically teach kids about faith and how they're called to live out those fruits in their own lives. And since that time, the fruit of the Spirit have always been meaningful to me in a way to grow in faith and holy living. So this evening, there are 3 points about the fruits of the Spirit I want us to talk about, and they all start with the letter P, so that might make them a little easier for us to remember. So the fruit of the Spirit calls us to pray, to practice, and to point. So first, pray. This is the most important. Our scripture tells us that these fruits are the fruits of the Spirit. Do you know what that means? It means that our love and our joy, our peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all those things come from the Holy Spirit. These aren't fruits of me or fruits of you. They're fruits of the Holy Spirit. We can't be these things consistently by our own power. We're given freedom, as the scripture tells us, and without prayer, we will undoubtedly use that freedom to live in ways that aren't the fruits of the Spirit. The desires of the flesh is what our scripture calls them. We're not naturally drawn to the fruit of the Spirit. We're too sinful and broken in our own lives for that. So we must ask the Holy Spirit to gift us with the fruit of the Spirit. This is where prayer comes in. We must take time to pray and to ask for more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our lives. These fruits the Holy Spirit really does want to give to us. We must just ask and be open to receiving them. We must realize that we need them. We must realize that we cannot earn them on our own. We need the gift in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to spend time in prayer asking for the gifts of the Spirit. So we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit to gift us with these fruits, and then we practice them. We strive to actually make them a part of our lives. It'd be silly to pray and to ask for the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit from God and then never to use them, never practice them. Part of the reason I got excited when we did Fruits of the Spirit at camp is that I really like it when we can do Bible studies with the kids. They give them very practical things to practice, both in their week at camp and when they go home. And there are countless ways to practice the fruits of the Spirit. Not just with children or with youth, but they actually exist for every person, regardless of age. Now, we probably think of some of these fruits more than others, and we probably have a better idea of how to practice some than others. But that doesn't mean that they're any more important or vital to our lives. So we're called to practice love in all of our actions and our words, to love others as God loves us. We're called to practice joy, to be grateful and to rejoice in all that God has given us, to be people who continually point out and praise God for the blessings he has given to us. We're called to practice peace, to be people who seek to resolve conflict, people not prone to anger or outbursts. We are called to patience, to be people who don't rush through life, to be people who are willing to wait on the Lord. We're called to kindness. We should be quick to offer a kind word or action to another. We should be people of compassion. We're called to goodness. This is called generosity in the translation we read this evening, but the Fruit of the Spirit song I memorized says goodness, so that's always what I say. But goodness is really the ways that we seek to bring about righteousness and holiness in our lives and in the world. And we do that when we're generous. And we do that when we're doing what is right and when we seek justice. We're called to practice faithfulness. We're to be loyal in our following of God and our discipleship. Faithfulness means that we persevere even when times are difficult. It means that we seek to stay devoted to Christ over all others. We're called to practice gentleness. This is another one we might not think about as much, but it means that we're humble, that we approach others and situations with humility first and not looking to push our own agendas. It means that we're people who don't seek revenge, but rather approach others with an open and forgiving attitude. And finally, we're called to practice self-control. We are to be people who seek to control our outrageous wants and live within our means with only what we need. It means we use our time and our resources wisely. Now, I know that's a lot. Perhaps it would be best to really just focus on a few fruits of the Spirit at a time. But remember, we aren't alone in this. These fruits are being given to us by the Holy Spirit. We're not earning them ourselves. There is grace and love and second chances when we don't practice them perfectly. So we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit to give us and to sustain us with these fruits. We practice the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And then finally, we point. We point to the ways that we see the fruits in the lives of others and in action in our world. This is important not so that we can be like self-congratulatory, but so that we can speak to the work of God in our world. It allows for us to encourage other people in the faith. Where do you see the fruit of the Spirit at work? What fruit do you want to point to? Where in our community, in your family, among your friends, do you see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? In the love of a friend, in the joy of children, the peace of wisdom from somebody you admire, the patience of the person next to you in a long line, the kindness of a stranger who pays for your order in the drive-thru, the goodness of those working towards justice, the faithfulness of those who serve God in faraway and often dangerous places, the gentleness of a prayer or kind note from a church friend, and the self-control of somebody who didn't rush to anger when you messed up. We have countless opportunities to point to the fruit of the Spirit each and every day. As Christians, we're called to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. We do that first by praying that the Holy Spirit might be at work in our lives, because we can't grow this fruit alone. Then we practice love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our lives. And then finally, we point to the many ways we see these works at work in our lives and in the lives of others. We point to these things because we've seen them, We've seen them in those among us, and we saw them in Christ when he came and lived among us, when he showed his love, his kindness, his peace, his gentleness, and all the others, and the ways that he interacted with people in his teaching and in his healing. We saw it when he gathered with his disciples in that upper room, and he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. We ask that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Let's go forth to seek the fruits of the Spirit through prayer, to practice them in our lives, and to point to the places we see them at work in others and in the world. Let us go in peace. Amen.